Tonight's Bible study is something I've thought about for a few years, actually, just on and off. And when Pastor asked me to take tonight, I thought I'd really search it out and make it a Bible study. But I've titled it Life and Death. It's just a small subject, you know, but we'll cover it all tonight. No, we won't. But really what I want to talk about is, you know, as we hear so often here that our old man is dead, you know, and our life is the life we have in Christ. And sometimes it's hard to really comprehend that. And you believe it. You don't always understand exactly the whole thing, but that's what I want to get into tonight. So hopefully it'll help you, and it helped me to search it out and look at the meaning of the words and the definitions, the places it's in the Bible and how it's brought together, and I think it'll be a blessing to us all by the Holy Spirit's anointing. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to start there. Ephesians 2 in the first verse. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So dead in trespasses and sins. So there's one thing right there. We're dead. How can we be dead and ever have life, ever get saved? But this, what this is talking about is the natural life that was passed down to us from Adam. That's a corrupt nature. And it's dead as to the understanding and will and affections with respect to spiritual things. So like the natural man, the Bible says, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness done to him. He can't even know them because they're spiritually discerned. So the natural man, he can't understand these things. The Bible says his affections are vile affections. They're the lust of the flesh. So there's nothing in that natural life that can please God. It's worthless. And it's incapable of doing anything that's good. And as we read here, it's subject to the principles of the world, and it's a servant to sin and Satan. Like it says here, you walked in according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan. And that's when you're, before you're born again, that's who you're obeying. That's who you're a slave to, the ways of the world and the prince of the air, the power of the air. So there's really nothing in us in that condition that God can accept. All are under the power of sin. And in Romans 3, I'm going to turn back there real quick. Romans 3, starting in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And this is a hard thing for a natural man to accept and to understand. You know, however you're raised, whether you're raised in a religion or not, you always think there's some inherent good in you. You feel like, you know, I gave a buck to the bum on the corner and it was a good thing, or I donated to this, or I helped this person carry their groceries, or I've, you know, whatever you think you've done, it was good. If it was before you were born again, it was no good. And it's hard to accept that as a human, naturally. You think that, oh, come on, there had to be something good in me, but there's not. It's a corrupt nature. There's nothing God can accept. And Romans, if you want to turn over to chapter 7, in verse 5, it says, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So our members, that's talking about our body, the members of our body. And when we were in the flesh, the old nature, the sins brought forth death. And in verse 18 here in Romans 7, Paul says, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Amen. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So natural man in himself is unacceptable to God, and he's also incapable of helping himself. And in Romans 8, read a little bit more here, verse 5, and the pastor's been going through this chapter, and I love it. Romans 8, verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded," that's the same thing as fleshly, carnal, "carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So the Bible's real clear about this, that that old nature is nothing that can be useful to God. And God doesn't try, he's not in the restoration business. He doesn't try to take that old nature and rebuild it into something new. He gives us a brand new nature. And we also should not try to fix up our old nature. It's not possible. But that is the way a lot of people feel, and a lot of teaching is in the world that way in religious circles. I know even being raised Roman Catholic, they had the Ten Commandments on the walls. Do these and don't do these Ten Commandments, and you know that'll make you better in God's sight. And that, well, we'll get to that here in a little bit. Well, actually, we'll get to it. How about right now? The law. The Jews looked at the law as being something that they should try to keep and try to do in order to make themselves acceptable to God. And even again, as I say, in some of the religions today, they emphasize keeping the Ten Commandments. But that's not what the law is given for. God gave the law to show sin to be exceeding sinful. And because no one could keep the law, except for one man, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that ever did. But no man could ever keep the law. And if you would just like step back and realize it, like, wow, no one can keep this law. There's so many things in your natural body, in your natural nature, no way. You cannot keep it. So the law was given for men to realize that they were sinners and they needed a Savior. The law wasn't given to be the way of righteousness, and that's what people try to do with it, and they try to take that old nature and fix it up and make it righteous, but it isn't possible. Just like it says here, there's none good, no, not one, and the natural mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. It can't be. It just is incapable. So, and then those that do try to do that, like even the Jews, as they tried to keep the law, what it produced in them was a self-righteousness and a pride. They would look down at other people and say, I'm doing better than you. I didn't do what you did yesterday. And, can't you see I'm a good guy, and you need to, stay away from me because I'm holier than thou. And don't, when they talk to Jesus, they'd say things like, if he knew what that kind of woman was, he wouldn't let her near him. She's a sinner. And you look down on people. You have this sense of pride that you're self-righteous, and that God hates self-righteousness. He sees the proud afar. So, but this is, isn't it wonderful? This is not where the story ends. But God, we love those two words, but God, by grace, he offers the gift of faith to whosoever will receive it. Turn back to Ephesians 2. And verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, oh, hallelujah, for his great love that we've been singing about tonight, huh, Linda? Wherewith he loved us, even, excuse me, when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God's got the remedy. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that didn't take God by surprise. He knew that was going to happen. It was all part of the plan, that fallen man would realize that they needed a Savior. And I thought about this, the The only way you're saved is by hearing the gospel and accepting Christ. Well, what about Adam and Eve? Did they hear the gospel? Well, they did. There was that lamb, you know, that was there, that was that the ram that the Lord slew. And but the gospel they heard was when he told Adam and Eve that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. That was the gospel. And they believed it, and their substitute for their sin was that ram that was slain so they could God could clothe them, or whatever the animal was, the skins. So praise the Lord. I thought that was wonderful that the gospel was right there in the beginning. So God is rich in mercy, and it's all by grace. If you read through here, he's in the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace. It's all by grace, isn't it? And it emphasizes it's not by works, lest any man should boast. Again, as those that would think they've done something, some little thing, some big thing to be acceptable to God, it's not by works, because man would get up there and boast and say, well, look at me, I did this. But you know, we're all on an equal plane in that respect. We've all sinned. Everyone's sinned, come short of the glory of God. And the only way we're saved is by grace. So you're not going to get up in heaven and say, I was better than that guy, or I didn't do as bad as him. We all have that old nature, and that old nature is capable of anything. So, and it's just not like my old man and your old man. It's our old man, if you read it in the Bible. It's our old man. And so Jesus said that he that believeth on, hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. So there's God's remedy. We're dead in sins, but he offers whoever will faith. It's a gift, and you believe, and whoever believes, bam, they're passed from death to life. It's nothing we could do. It's all God's grace, and it's easy. Anyone can do it. So it's whosoever will. And then also Jesus said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Isn't that wonderful? But, you know, you say, well, didn't Brother Hill die? No. The Bible calls it sleep. He just fell asleep. And a couple instances of that is when Lazarus was ill. They sent for Jesus, and Jesus said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, and I'm going to go wake him up. And they thought, well, he must be getting better because he's taking rest and sleep. And Jesus finally just said, for your sakes, I'll say he's dead. But he's really just asleep. And we read in 1 Thessalonians, when Jesus returns, it says that those that are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And then remember Stephen, when he was stoned, it says he called upon the Lord, and they were stoning him. Yeah, but it doesn't say he died. It says he fell asleep. So a Christian doesn't die. They just fall asleep. Praise the Lord. Because when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we're born of the Spirit, and we have eternal life. We have everlasting life, and we'll never perish. We have a brand new nature, and that new nature is called the new man. And after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So our old man, the sinful fleshly nature, is crucified. And this is where I want to kind of talk about this a little bit, that give you some more of an understanding of what it means to have the old man crucified. So if you turn over to Romans 6, starting in verse 6, knowing this, and I love that, as even as we heard recently about Romans 8:28, and we know, but knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, you know that our old man was crucified, and then you reckon ourselves to be dead. That you know something, like I say, you can know and understand, but the reckoning is like you count it. Like, I count that to be true. You can hear something and know it, but when you want to make it real in your life, you say, that's true. I'm counting that true. I'm counting that to be the very truth. So, excuse me. So it says here that the body of sin might be destroyed in verse 6. That word destroyed means to render inactive, to deprive of force, influence, or power. So destroyed, it's not totally annihilated, but it's there. It's like our old sinful nature. It's dead, but death does not mean non-existence. And I want you to think about that for a minute. I think that's an important point to make here. So turn over to Luke 16, and Jesus told about this to show us that death does not mean there's no existence anymore. Luke 16, 19 is about the rich man and Lazarus. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which pass would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So here's this rich man, and it says he died and was buried, but did he not exist? No, he still existed. His body was gone, but there was still a spirit there. So in that sense, you can somewhat think about our old man being dead. We still have that old nature, but it's not a part of us anymore. It's inactive. We want to keep it inactive. It can't do anything to our new man. It can't have any effect on bringing any condemnation to the new man. There's no condemnation. But it's still a sinful nature. It's not going to change, and it's still there. So it's dead, but it still exists, okay? And I hope that kind of helps you see a little bit about that. It helped me. And Paul said in Galatians 2:20, verse we love to read here, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So that old man's crucified, we're crucified with Christ, and it's now Christ that liveth in us. It's the very life of Christ in us, his very own life. It's incorruptible. And not only does it not sin, but it cannot sin. In 1 John 3:9 says, Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. So as our old nature, all it can do is sin, the new nature cannot sin. There's a big difference there. I mean, it's like obviously night and day, but they are against each other in the things they can and can't do. So going on here, I looked at the definition of sin. It literally means missing the mark. It means trespass, transgression, iniquity, evil, wickedness, and unbelief. So we read that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And if you are a slave to sin, a servant to sin, you'll get paid, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So isn't it wonderful that it's a gift of God? You don't earn eternal life. It's a gift. But you think of sin in a couple ways. One of them, it's sin is the acts of the old nature through the body, like, you know, stealing, or like, you know, the Ten Commandments, you know, coveting, or lying, not bearing a false report, things like that. Those are all a deed that you think of. But sin is also a power. It's a nature. It's a governing principle, if you think of it two ways like that. So if we go back to Romans 6, read a little bit more there, and you can kind of look at sin two different ways like that. So Romans 6, starting in verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So here you can see that there's like two principles right here in this, these verses, like let not sin reign in your mortal body. So sin is like something that's got rule over you, and you're a slave to it. But then it says, neither yield your members of as unrighteousness unto sin. So that's your members, your bodily members, your arms, hands, your mind, your eyes. Even like James says, the tongue is a little member that can defile the whole body. So it's the members that sin. But it says here, you're not under the law, which is a wonderful thing to think about, because these people that would try to get you to keep the law, the Bible tells us you're not under the law. Right there, we'd read that in verse 14. You're not under the law, but under grace. And we've read in Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So we're not under the law, there's no condemnation. Paul said, all things are lawful for me. Now, all things aren't expedient, but all things are lawful. And it can be something that's hard for someone to comprehend, that you would say that because we teach and the Bible tells you cannot lose your salvation. Well, they say, well, what if someone commits murder? Can they still go to heaven? Well, yes, because there's no condemnation. You're not under the law. The new man is not a part of that. That's something that's come out through the sinful nature that committed murder. It's not the new man. The new man cannot sin. Okay, so keep that. This is wonderful to put this together, but for people to hear that don't know the truth, it's hard for them to comprehend that. Wow, someone could actually murder someone and still go to heaven, and it's true he can, because, and then, there's even examples in the Bible about, David, he had Uriah killed, but there's those like Samson basically committed suicide by putting the pillars down, and he's one of the ones in Romans or in Hebrews 11. So again, God's word is true. And the natural man, it's hard for him to comprehend it. He can't really. It takes spiritual discerning. So we're not under the law. There's no condemnation. But as far as sin, Jesus said in John 8 that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So Jesus made us free from sin. We're free from sin. We are not under that taskmaster anymore. The sin's still in our members, but we're not under sin. We're a new man. We're free. And he didn't just set us free. He made us free. There's a difference there. And Romans 8:2 says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And we are not, we don't have to be concerned. We shouldn't fear death at all. Because again, death is just falling asleep for a Christian, and we get to go be with the Lord. But hopefully we get to be translated. We're looking for that trumpet sound and listening for the Lord to come and get us. And hopefully we won't even see death, but either way, the Lord takes us. Death is not something to be afraid of. And Romans, let's turn over to Romans 7 here, in Romans 7 verse 19. And I love how our pastor brought this out when he went through this portion. But Paul says, the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So you see, we still have something. We do things that aren't right, but it's not the new man doing it. It's the nature of sin that's with us, that's in our members. Sin's in our members. It's always going to be there. And so if we do the things we don't want to do, and we just like, oh, why did I do something? Why did I do that? Why did I go punch that guy in the face? No. Yeah, Aaron made me think of that. No, I don't know why I said that, brother. Anyway, it's just you might do something that you just wish you hadn't done. And if it's a sinful thing, it's not you that's doing it. It's the nature of sin that's in your members, okay? And in Romans 8, we're going to go back to that. We started out in the beginning here saying how, let's see, Romans 8, that in verse 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, okay? But let's go to Romans 8, verse 9. That ye are not in the flesh. And our pastor, I love how he emphasized that when he went through this in Romans 8 here, that this is such an important statement for people to really understand, not just in Romans 8, but the whole Bible, really. You're not in the flesh. You are not in the flesh. But in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So we're not in the flesh. Now we live in this flesh, but we don't live after the flesh. We walk in his flesh, but we don't walk after the flesh. The Bible says we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And Jesus said it was the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that he spoke were Spirit and life. And then Paul said that we have no confidence in the flesh. He went through and listed all the things that men would think of as being confident in their fleshly accomplishments. And he said, I count them all done. No confidence in the flesh. And then we're also told, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. So we see our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and if they do something that is wrong, you know, me, I've done it, whatever, we don't look at them after the flesh. We look at them in a new man. The new man is the life of Christ in them, and that life is cannot sin. And that we still have that old nature, but again, we all have it. We all still have that old nature, and we want to pray for one another if we see something like that. But we look at one another in the new man. We don't look after the flesh. So if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And we love that. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. So the natural man, this fleshly body, is temporal. And the things that are seen are temporal. Everything we see is temporal. It's going to be gone someday. But the things that are unseen are eternal. So that new man that we don't really see right now, that's the eternal one. That's the one that's going to go on forever with the Lord in heaven. And so, again, these temporal bodies, we see them now, they're going to be gone someday. So why did God make us this way, you might ask? Well, and I've kind of touched on this a little bit, but if we could somehow become righteous by our own works or law-keeping, we would think, like the Pharisees did, that we're better than someone else. And we would think we didn't need a Savior. That, you know, I've done my best, and God will accept me for giving it my best shot, and it'll be good, but it's not. And when you do that, again, it just builds pride. We need this old nature. The old nature is a battle. It's a good fight of faith. If we didn't have that old nature keeping us humble, we'd get puffed up. We'd really, and it just like Paul had to have that thorn in the flesh, but we need this flesh. The Lord has made us this way, that we still have this old nature to deal with, and it just reminds us daily, if not throughout the whole day, that we need the Lord, that we've got issues that we can't deal with in our own self, and we need the Lord to come in for us. And it's wonderful because he's right there. He just wants us to call out to him. Say, Lord, I need you for this thing. I need you for that. It's not like some people say, well, Lord's pretty busy. I don't want to bother him with things like that. Well, he wants you to ask. He wants you to ask. And for the big things, the little things, he's there for us. And it can be a thought. It could be some great thing, some small thing, whatever. The Lord wants us to call out to him and realize that we're needy people. And we're going to have this old nature until we get to go to heaven. And we'll read about that here in just a little bit. So we have to be born again. And anything, any good in our lives will be by grace through the life of Christ in us. And it's all going to be to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So Paul, he labored a lot. And if the Lord has good works for us to walk in, and we'll produce good works from the Lord, but it's going to be by grace. And like Paul, he didn't say, I labored more abundantly than them all, because I'm a harder worker, or I'm a more faithful person. He just said, it's the grace of God. It wasn't anything in me. I don't deserve anything, but the Lord used this vessel, and by his grace, I am what I am. And so we just give glory to God. We don't try to take any credit to ourselves. And this, the Lord doesn't want any flesh to glory in his presence. He says, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So now let's go over to 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. And starting in verse 50, 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now I say, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So we're going to be changed. We've got this mortal flesh, but there's going to come a day when we're going to put off this mortal, and we're going to be putting on the immortality. This corruptible flesh will be put off for the incorruptible. And Philippians 3:21 says, he shall change our vile body, that it be shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So we have this vile body that we have right now, but the Lord's going to change it, and we're going to get a glorified body just like his. So in heaven, there's not going to be any sin, okay? And we know that. Revelation 21:27 says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And I love that, the Lamb's Book of Life. And how Paul even addressed some, he says that those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. So there won't be anything in heaven to defile. There won't even be a lie. And right, you know, the Bible says all men are liars. There won't be any lies in heaven. Because we're going to have that nature, Jesus' nature, his life. And that can't sin. It can't lie. God cannot lie. When he says something, it comes to pass. And Isaiah 65:17 says, behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. And I'm thankful for that, because there's a lot of things I'd like to forget here. And, you know, it's just, it'll be wonderful. Then it's all going to be brand new. We won't even be remembering these former things. So the more we take in the Word of God and yield to the Spirit, the less attention we pay to our old man. He's being put in the background. You know, we our focus is on the things of God. We want to take in the Word of God. We want to seek the Lord and have fellowship with him. So our time is spent in prayer and praise and thanking the Lord, and we're not thinking about the things we used to think about in the old man. So it's wonderful to grow up in the Lord, but it takes time. Like when people first get saved and they don't understand the two natures, and they think, well, I've been saved. Why do I still have these feelings or these thoughts? And they just, it takes growing up to understand that there's two natures, but it also takes time to really get that victory over that, that old man's dead. He's not going to, anything that he does is not going to be accounted in forever, in eternity. It's only the things done for Christ that'll last. So in closing here, Colossians 3. Let's turn over there, Colossians 3. Starting verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And I love how our pastor brought this out the way I hadn't thought of it before, but we're not just to think the things, the heavenly things that are above, but specifically where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's the throne. That's where we want to be looking to and seeking. So set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So he's our life. Christ is our life. He's the one that gave us life. He's the one that keeps it. He gives us everlasting life, eternal life, and he gives us abundant life. And so he's our life, and when he appears, we'll be with him. And our pastor went over this, I think it was Sunday, that it'll be going to be unto the measure or the stature of the fullness of Christ, that full-grown man, not just a babe, but a full-grown man when we see him. So I'm just thankful that we have the Holy Spirit to really show us who we were in our old nature and who we are in Christ. So I hope it's been a blessing to you and helped you out a little bit of understanding here, but thank the Lord. He's so good. Let's stand and be dismissed.